watch just said a little relaxed reminder. You seem a bit stressed at the moment, so I need to relax down. Good morning, church. I'm going to say it one more time because good morning, church. Good. It's a really warm day, isn't it? And kind of, you know how you can just get in that lethargy. So I want to try and get the blood pumping in those moments, saying good morning. If you find that I have quite bad circulation in my hands, so if you just do this, it helps drive the circulation. So if you feel like you're drifting off because it's a warm day, you know, we've got some lovely aircon here, but just do some of these. Get the blood moving around. It'll be good. Set a little timer going so I don't go on for ages. Anyway, for those that don't know me, my name is Tim and I'm leading the team here. And it's wonderful to be together. Well done for coming out on a morning such as this. It would have been easy to think, I'm just going to stay at home because it's such a warm day. I just struggle with that energy. So well done. Well done on being here today. And it's good to be here. It's good to worship. Well done to the team. Lovely to worship all together. And we're going to conclude our series on parables today. It's our last one in the sort of parables we've been going through since the end of January. It's been quite a while, but it's been really good. I think it's been really great, you know, in terms of looking at the stories that Jesus told, stories that are timeless and are so relevant for us today as they were back when Jesus first told them on the lakeside shores where they didn't have aircon in the Middle East. So, you know, wasn't it good for those who were there as well? But we're in this series, we've looked at stories about, well, what is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about? What is the value of this kingdom that he spoke about? And the last few weeks we've been thinking about some of the parables that he told about kingdom advancement. What's that like? And so if you haven't had a chance or you're new here for the first time, you'd like to, go to our website, jubileechurchshepparton.org, go to the media tab, and you'll find all the talks on there, or hopefully most of the talks on there at the very least. But you'll find the talks, you can catch up. And you just think, actually, I really want to go back over one of those on maybe a walk or something like that, listen to one of these parables again. Do that. They'll serve you well. They've blessed me and they'll bless us all. I want to pray before I start, and then we're going to get straight into it today. Father, I just pray that your blessing will be with us here in this place. Lord, that as we open your word, as we look to see what you're saying to us through this last story today, Lord, you would bless us and equip us for where you're leading us to next. Lord, help these words be your words. Help them to be spoken with authority. Help them to be powerful and have impact in our lives. Lord, let us be transformed by you again and again. And especially here in this place this morning. Amen. So we're doing a bit of a pivot change. You might have seen there's a slight program change. I was going to be talking about the parable of the sower. But just over the last couple of weeks, I've been feeling that God wanted me to speak about the parable of the bags of gold or the parable of the talents. And we're going to be looking at that together. And it follows on from what Mike brought last week, because it follows in chapter 25. So Mike spoke last week about the parable of the 10 virgins, speaking about wisdom, about watching and praying, about waiting. And then the parable of the bags of gold flows directly on afterwards. And actually, we've also covered everything in Matthew 25, because Chris Sathwaite brought a really great message on the 5th of March, if you missed it, for the website, on the 5th of March, about the parable of the sheep and goats. And so we've been looking all the way through this parable as Jesus has been talking about end times of the kingdom that's to come when his kingdom will be fully established with his return. So both last week and Chris's message are online, available to catch up. But we're going to be looking at the middle gap here, the last one in that chapter, the parable of the bags of gold. And we find it in Matthew 25. The words are going to come up on the screen behind me, but if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to it, let's have a look together. So it says this from verse 14 to 30. Again, so it immediately flows straight off the back of last, the parable of the 10 virgins. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a really tricky end to that parable. Has it been with the last? So last week, Mike shared about 5. The banquet door was shut on them. Chris spoke on the parable of the sheep and goats, where there'll be a time when the angels will come and separate people into the sheep and the goats, and the goats will also find themselves outside. It's a tricky thing for us to consider around these things. But what we're going to do today, we're going to look at 2 things. Because really, what I felt like in terms of why we bring this message, I felt at the end of this, there's a kind of a call to us as the church to get going. To get going. Okay, not like we haven't been, but it's almost like for some to get past a checkpoint, you know, where you kind of get a water break, and it's like, get momentum again. Get momentum again. And for some, be like, hey, let's get going. Let's get going. So we want to consider 2 things from this passage this morning. Firstly, what has been entrusted to us? What's been entrusted to you? And what are we to do about it? The simple answer to both, if we want to end the message in 7 minutes and 50 seconds, is we've been entrusted a lot. And we're called to use it. So thanks, everyone. Let's pray and let's have communion now together. But what has been entrusted to us? So in this story, we find there are 3 servants, okay? And there's a of varying ability. And that's okay. We have a master who's about to go on a long journey. Unknown return day, unknown flight details, destination unknown. The master's gone on a journey somewhere. He has entrusted to them his wealth, and he is a wealthy man. Okay, he's entrusted to them his wealth. He gives out bags of gold to the servants. He gives out 8 bags of gold, and each bag is worth 20 years' wages of a daily laborer. It's great when you do some homework in a previous message that you can pull forward to this one. And so in the parable of the unmerciful servant, we looked at some of the maths behind this. So just to remind us, in today's money, if someone's on minimum wage, the national minimum wage from in a 5-day working week from April, for 20 years' wages, 1 bag of gold would equivalent broadly be around £415,000. Okay, so this So each servant received at least one bag of gold to the value of £415,000. That is a huge amount. This servant gives out 8 of these bags. So the first servant that received 5 bags of gold roughly receives just over £2 million from the master. The second servant receives 830K. And the last servant receives £415,000. This is life-changing sums of money, right? Life-changing sums of money. And each servant at the beginning of this story is trusted because he's given them the money. Each servant at the beginning of this story is trusted by the master and he's given them his wealth. You know, how many of us have experienced lending money to someone and thinking, well, will I get paid back? Or even just saying, hey, why don't you look after, you know, I don't know, can you house sit for me and hope we're going to come back and find it in, like, you know, good state? Or maybe even like, you know, can you babysit for us? You can trust like some really massively important things to people. How many of us would even trust 1/8 of all we owe to another person? There's risk here. This man's about to go on a journey, you know, it's not about this, I suppose, but who knows? You know, they could have done a runner. You know, these servants, any one of them, £415,000, say, I'm not sure when I'm going to come back. You know, 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 10 years. Could be thinking, well, the master's maybe never coming back. Maybe he's you know, something's happened to him. Maybe I'll just get to keep the money. I mean, we don't know what's going through their minds, but the point is, at this point in time in the story, the master had trust in each of them. There's a partnership taking place. In his absence, he's saying, I want you to look after this. I want you to look after this in my absence. So what has been entrusted to you? What have you been given? So we're going to move on to my little section over here. So I'll just bring it forward a bit. So I've got a little jug here, clear jug. I've got some stones and some sort of eggy-shaped marbly things and some sand. Do you know, we've been entrusted a lot. And so, you know, we've been entrusted gifts from God. Gifts from God. And I want to just stick some of these things in. I want these things to represent gifts from God for us. I'm going to read in a moment, but I want to put these in. Each of us would have received gifts from God in our lives. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read through Romans. We're going to look at something, 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go on to Ephesians. It's quite a nice little bounce through the New Testament. It speaks of calling, speaks of roles, talks of passions in each of us that God has entrusted into us. If you're a believer, God has entrusted things into you. And so the words will come up on the screen behind me. But we're going to look at Romans first. I want to read this. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. It's in chapter 12, verses 4-8. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Gifts, roles. We're going to bounce straight to 1 Corinthians next. My mum's probably quicker than I am getting there. Right, 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11. Paul writing to a church in Greece, church in Corinth. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another's distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. We're going to jump to Ephesians next. Oh, I got there quite quickly. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There are giftings that each of us have been given for works of service, for blessings to others. There are gifts in each one of our lives that we've been given. And there's possibly more to come. There might be, you know, there's, in our lifetime, it says to eagerly desire some of these things. You know, but there are callings, there are passions in our hearts that have been given to us. And next, we receive the Holy Spirit. What's been entrusted to us has been the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings us, gives us fruit, which allows us to be countercultural in this world. Where retribution might be the normal response, we can bring kindness into that situation. Where selfishness might be a normal response, we can bring generosity. Where we can bring gentleness. And in Galatians, Paul writes to the church there to share with them what this fruit is that's been entrusted to us through the Holy Spirit. It's in verse 22, Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So these things help us. These are other things that have been entrusted to us in our lives. And lastly, in terms of some of the things that I've been thinking about, what's been entrusted to us? What's been entrusted to me? There's a gift of salvation that's been entrusted to me. At the very bottom of all of this, what underpins all of this, is the gift of salvation in our lives. In Ephesians 2, Paul is writing and he's sharing with this church in 6 to 9. He says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, we have been given this gift of salvation that fills up everything in our lives. I make just drop sand everywhere. It's great. We've been entrusted so much. This is really heavy, by the way, as well, just to let you know. It's heavy what we've been entrusted. We've been entrusted so much. Whether you think, well, that person over there has got more potential gifts than me, or that person over there seems to be doing things better than me. Do you know, all of us have been full to the brim just with the gift of salvation. It's what's been entrusted to us. All of these things. And they're all, the Master has given all of that to us. It's not about comparing well, that person looks like they've got five versions of these jugs all full up, and I've only got one. What you've received is a huge amount. Each of us have received a huge amount. And we've all been given differently. And that's really great. We're not clones. We're not all the same. And all those verses that we looked at in Romans, in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians are all structured in the sense that all of this has been given for the common good. All of this has been given to bless everyone. Different roles to support the kingdom, different roles to support, you know, our own walks of faith. All of it has been a blessing to the common good and to equip. So it shouldn't be a surprise that we have different abilities, and it shouldn't be a surprise that we have different roles, because all those abilities, all those roles are needed for the good of the church, for the good of the kingdom. Otherwise, it'd all look a bit samey. But all of this is underpinned by the gift of salvation, the grace that's been given to us. And there's a moment in Acts 3 where Peter and John are approaching the temple gate called Beautiful, and there's a disabled person sat at the foot begging for money at the entrance. And they're approaching, they look at him, they say, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. What they have is far more valuable than silver or gold. What's been entrusted to them is far more valuable than silver or gold. Each of us has been given the same grace by God, whether we believe or you're thinking, I'm not sure about all of this. You know, there's a grace that's on offer for all of us, where we can receive eternal life, where we can receive the Holy Spirit, where God can unlock and can move towards his God-given grace, his God-given gifts in our lives for us to be difference makers, for us to be kingdom bringers in this world. So why have I been going on about this? Well, you might wonder that. But the last servant, presumably of the lowest ability because they only received one bag, and we can quickly dismiss, well, it's only one bag for him, but it's a lot of money. Even though it's only one bag, it's a lot of money. You know, you say, oh, well, that person got 2 million, but they got like nearly £500,000. That's a lot of money. And the master gave that servant the 20 years' wages in one go, and that's just beyond belief. Imagine, you know, someone handing you 20 years of your wages or 20 years of your pension or 20 years of your pocket money all in one go. You know, silver briefcase full of cash. Wouldn't that be lovely just to sort of see? I always see it in just the films, and you think, does anyone really walk around with a silver platinum briefcase just full of cash? Is that... Got it. I was... There was a few nods around, I guess. Maybe that's... But like this servant who's in servitude and only been living, you know, almost like check to check, or even do they even get the ability to have money of their own, to be entrusted with all of this is mad. And so I believe that God wants to remind us as a church, individually and together, that he's entrusted a lot into us, that we have a lot that we have, and he's invested in us. So what are we to do? So the master returns to settle accounts. And by that, he's coming back to say, where's the money and what have you done with it? And whatever the instruction was given at the time of the investment, the master's coming back to see what people have done with it. So the last servant with one bag, he knows what his master is like, because we see that. He makes a comment as such that he says, I knew there'd be an expectation. I knew that you'd sort of be saying, you know, what have you done with the money? Because you harvest where you have not sown and you gather where you have not scattered. He knew what the master was like. There's no excuse. He knows what the master is like, and he still goes and buries it because he knows. And yet he doesn't do anything with it. His excuse is fear. Out of fear, I buried it. Out of fear, I chose not to do anything with it. I put security in the ground so I could just hand back what you gave me. If it's not used, it's not risked. If it's not risked, it can be returned. That's his attitude. And the master's response is, well, why don't you stick it in the bank? For a lot of people, if you put 415k into the bank right now on interest rates, you're probably going to get quite a lot of money back. You know, that's the sad thing about what's happening in this country around finances. But the master's like, well, at least I'd have got passive returns on it. At least the bank would have done the job if you weren't willing to do something. And we don't know what the master's response would have been if he'd have done that. We don't know if the master would have said, still the same as the others, hey, well done. Well done. You tried something. Well done. You gave it a go. But that's the last servant is not an example for us to model on. Okay? The last servant is not an example for us to model on. He gets a lot of airtime, but he's an example for us to avoid. There's the other two servants who received 7 out of 8 bags. That's who we need to look to as our examples. They're our forerunners. And in verses 16 to 17, it's not much, like I said, there's not much airtime for them. But it just says this in 16 to 17. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. We've been entrusted a lot. I think I just want to share that. Keep sharing that. You know, if it sound like a broken record, I want to just keep reminding us, we've been entrusted a lot. We've been entrusted a lot. You've been entrusted a lot. With. If you're a believer, God's entrusted you with a lot. And so there are three, well, we want to be partners. And I've got 3P-something partners for us. So we want to be passionate partners, okay? Passionate partners. These servants, in contrast to the last one, were more passionate about serving their master, serving him well. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about when it comes to the kingdom? Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's sharing your faith. Maybe it's music and worship. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's unpacking the Bible. Maybe it's serving, encouraging people, being generous, just caring for people in difficult situations. Maybe it's just being hospitable. What are you passionate about? It's almost like a general question, just what are you passionate about? What kind of goes, I really enjoy doing that. Then it's almost like, well, how can I put that to the kingdom use? When we were getting married, one of the key steps or activities you have to go through is you have to do the seating plan. And for those who have been married, you know that can be tricky, okay? You've got the politics potentially to navigate, family, friends, the dynamics, who's going to sit where. Are they going to get on well on that table? Are there common interests? Do people be closer? Are they in the cheap seats, you know, at the back? You know, how good friends are they, etc. And you settle on all these table plans and these people who are going to sit next to each other. And I remember for Emma and I, there was a moment on our when we're at the top table, and we're just looking out, and we're seeing all these people having a joyful time chatting to each other on their tables. Lots of people who didn't know each other. And you're thinking, we just had that moment, we go, wow, I wish we could be out there, but I'm glad we helped facilitate that. I'm glad we helped facilitate that joy happening over there, albeit our role was just in the background, and no one necessarily would really know about it. I'm sharing this because I want to say, if your passion, for example, could be, I love cooking. And I've always thought about cooking on, you know, like a, this is not a plug, by the way, I appreciate when it could be interpreted as such. I'm just, who knows where the Lord might steer you, but it's not a big plug. But if your passion was saying, I love to cook, and I'd love to do like a breakfast of some kind, whether men's, women's, whatever, or just a church breakfast, who knows, but I'm not so sure about the teaching, or I'm not so sure about these other bits of, should there be a spiritual aspect of it? How does all the coordination work, all this stuff? But what I love to do is I love to cook a meal, and to be able to look out from the kitchen at home, or to be look out from the hatch here and just say, oh, I just love that people are enjoying this. This has created a space where people have gathered and they're able just to connect. And this comes back to, you know, what I was saying earlier, we all have different roles. to play. But what are you passionate about? And how can you apply that to the kingdom? What are you passionate about? How can you apply that to the kingdom? Is because where your passions are, if you invest there, I truly believe you'll see fruit come from that. Because it's in part of what you're gifted at. Because it's what gets you buzzing. We all know that if we go, oh, I don't like doing this role, so I have to try and slog away at it. It just feels like a slog. But when you say, I love to do this, you'll find fruit if you invest there. Second double P, purposeful partners. Okay, purposeful. Passionate partners, purposeful partners. The servants got on with it straight away. These two, they didn't dilly-dally. It says they just got to work. They just got there. To be purposeful is to have determination, to be intentional, to have resolve. I'm going to give it a go. Perhaps they encountered setbacks. We don't know. It's two verses that says, hey, they had five bags of gold. This one made five more. That's as much as we know. How long did that take? We don't know because we don't know how long the master was away for. But what we know is they got to work. So what it says, they were purposeful with it. And by the time the master returned, they had both doubled the investment entrusted to them. We've been given a huge investment into us. Keep reminding us of that. But you are not alone to toil and strive in isolation. Because we get the Holy Spirit to help us. We get Jesus to help us. We don't have to toil and strive alone. And what's more, hey, look around the room. You get the church family to help as well, right? You don't have to toil and strive alone. We're in this together. And I love that we each have different things invested into us. And so we can be purposeful. And it's not necessarily, it's not a big caveat, it's just a point that's important to make share. It's not that you go, I've got this idea, therefore church leadership, you need to make this happen. And for us to go, well, we love that idea that you have, but we've got so much capacity, we've got so much energy, or the resources aren't necessarily there. There's an element where you can be, what we're saying about being purposeful is in one about us being purposeful together as a church, but it's also about us being individually purposeful in the things of God in our walk of faith. So to share some things, I love that Celine, who's not here, I think Robin was sharing this morning that her grandson's being dedicated in Gloucestershire at the church, which is, I just want to quickly pray for that. Actually, they've had some, he's had a challenging start to his life, baby Isaac. But I'd love to just pray for him. Lord, we just want to pray and lift up Isaac to you. Lord, we pray that you would bring complete healing over his life. Lord, we ask that you would bless him. We thank you for Rose and David, his parents. We thank you for Rose and all the things that she did in this church. Lord, we just pray your blessings over them as a family. Lord, bless them, equip them, heal them, prepare them for parenthood. Lord, we just ask that your hand would be completely over them. And Lord, we ask that he would be a young man who is a faithful young man, strong young man in you. Lord, and you've got great purposes and plans for his life. Lord, long established before time. Lord, bless him as he's dedicated to you this morning. Amen. I love that Celine would often, or she hasn't done it for a while, but would just chuck things out there on the WhatsApp group and say, you know, in her classic fashion, hey loves, you know, she's great like that. Hey loves, I'm going down to have communion on the bench outside Sainsbury's. Does anyone want to join me? And like, you know, some people go, okay, other people, like we say, well, I'm busy or whatever. But I love that to be about being purposeful. I say, hey, you want to do something great for the kingdom? Go. It doesn't have to be in the context of a Sunday morning context of this building. We can be purposeful in our walk with God 7 days out of seven. It's not just one day in the church. So maybe you want to think, oh, I can't do Monday night prayer meetings, but I'd love to pray for the things of this world, what's going on, the church, etc. Maybe I'll gather people on by work. So maybe I'd say, actually, would anyone like to join me on a Wednesday morning before work? You know, we can be purposeful in things. It doesn't have to be always through an infrastructure of the church, because the people are the church. We say, actually, I'd love to do this. It's an open offer. There's no expectation. It's just an open offer around these things. You know, I just feel purposeful in terms of, I just was listening to a worship song, so I wanted to share that with a colleague. being purposeful, being bold, being courageous. Let's be purposeful partners, which is to we receive what we've been entrusted to. We say, I'm going to get on with this. Lastly, of this three, producing partners. We are to be partners who produce. We've been called to be fruitful. That's a call over our lives, to be fruitful. It's not about being more fruitful than somebody else. It's about being fruitful with what we've been given. It's not a comparison. That person, the person with two bags who yielded two, doesn't look at the person with five bags, go, oh, they had a higher start than me. They had five bags. Because we're going to get onto this in a moment. That's not how the master looks at it. It's about being fruitful with what we've been given. So as we trust in God, as we're faithful, as we follow our passions that he's put in us, as we're purposeful in terms of stepping out, we believe that growth will come. Whatever that means. We don't know what that means in different contexts. Maybe personal growth. Maybe opportunities that we've shared where people say, I just really want to come to that prayer meeting that you're just thinking about doing, or prayer gathering, whatever that might be. Or I just really shared a moment with a friend and they seem to be really open to the gospel. It's fruitfulness. It's purposeful. Green shoots are better than no shoots. Lastly, so those are the three, but this is what we want to receive. We want to be praised partners, okay? Praised partners. The master comes at the end and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, so I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. How wonderful will that be? How wonderful would that be for the master to say, hey, you've been entrusted a lot. It doesn't matter if you compare it to others. I want to say to you, well done for how you've been purposeful, how you've been fruitful for with what I've given to you. That would be amazing. So two things I just wanted to highlight this morning, talk through today. One is about for us to know that we've been entrusted a lot, okay? And then secondly, to be what we're going to do with it. We want to use it. We want to be passionate. We want to be purposeful. We want to be producing partners. And we want to have a goal at the end where we're praise partners, where Jesus welcomes us open arms, says, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. I love how you've responded to all of this. And we're going to come into a moment of communion. But before we do, I just got something else here. I feel like this. Nice little spade for those. No one's going to get slapped around the head unless you spiritually need it. Yeah, joking. I feel for some, there's a moment here. It's like a spiritual spade moment, okay? I feel like sometimes you can just chuck spiritual in front of any word and then I was like, okay. But there's a spiritual spade moment where for some, it's time to dig up what you've buried. That master, at any point that servant could have gone back, you know, X marks the spot, I know where I buried that, I'm going to dig up what's been given to me, and I'm going to put it to work. And he never did throughout the whole journey. So there's a spiritual spade moment, I need to hold it less menacingly. Where it might be a time that if there's some passions, or there's some giftings, callings, roles in your life that you felt God's had over you, but you're not sure, well, I don't know, whatever reason is like you've buried them. There's a moment here. We're going to pray. We say we can dig these up. We can unbury them. And then we can see how we can use them. Yeah? So I just want to pray for us as we do that. Let's just shut our eyes. Let's just all put our hands out if you're comfortable doing that. Father, we are so thankful that firstly, you've just entrusted a lot into us. Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us gifts, that you want us to use for your kingdom glory. Lord, you have equipped us. You want us to be equipped and to equip others. Lord, the gifts that you've planted inside of us aren't to bring us glory, but they're to bring you glory. And they're to be used to serve your kingdom purposes. Lord, we just want to come before you now. And Lord, we want to pray a few things. Firstly, Lord, we want to ask that if among us here this morning, if there are gifts that we've buried out of our fear of using them, Lord, we want to have a spiritual spade moment, Lord, where with your help, Lord, we want to dig these up right now, Lord. We want to dig them up so they'd be used for your purpose. So, Lord, would you just come among us, Lord, just in our hearts as we're just settled before you, Lord, will you just pinpoint things in our hearts, highlight things, giftings or passions that we've had, that we've buried. Lord, point them out to us right now, we just ask. By your Spirit, just point them out, Lord, so that we can recognize that you want us to use these. Jesus, we trust you in this. Lord, whether it's about being encouraging, whether it's serving, whether it's teaching, worshiping, Lord, prophetic gifting. Lord, speak to our hearts now. Reveal these things to us. Help them come back to the surface. Help them to be dug up so we can be used them for your kingdom purposes. Lord, please be with us. Lord, and we also just pray, Lord, you know where we're invested. You know the giftings that we're using for your purposes. Lord, we pray for fruit. Lord, we pray for multiplication of this. Lord, we pray that we'd be producing partners that see growth in different areas from our gifting that supports the kingdom as a whole. Lord, in our walks, in our workplace, in our family, in our streets, Lord, we pray for fruit there. Lord, and we pray for fruit within this church. Lord, that we would see many lives touched, many lives transformed. Lord, for those of us who need a water break, Lord, will you just bring refreshment over us and encouragement for us? Lord, we trust you in all these things. Amen.